Hello and good morning. I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. It's good to have you with us here for the Congregation of Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer around God's Word. It's Monday, May 20th, 2024, and happy Pentecost week. Today is Pentecost Monday and Tuesday. These used to be feast days in the church. We would gather together for divine service. Maybe someday we'll restore that practice. But of course, how does it go? Pastor doesn't make demands. The congregation asks, right? So if that's something you'd like to see, if you'd like to gather with your fellow Christians around God's word and prayer and his sacrament on Pentecost Monday and Tuesday, just let me know. We can set it in the schedule and be perfectly happy to do that morning or noon or evening or whatever works for you. All right, let's see. We continue. Actually, where we left off in the book of Acts on Saturday, we've been reading kind of the account of Pentecost over the last few days, and now we'll just continue right on to Acts chapter 3, and we're going to do this through the summer months, so we're really starting our summer schedule now, even though it's not quite the end of the school year. It's just the way it worked out this year. So Acts for our first, reading for catechesis, but also we're going to be hearing from the prophet Joel each day. All right, so let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Okay. Our psalm this week is Psalm 143. This was our psalm yesterday, and of course, I think chosen in particular because of the confession of both of our spirit, that is the human spirit, if you like, and the divine spirit, God the Holy Spirit, which is ours in our baptism. And then by having the Spirit, what the Spirit works in us, right? Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. All right, so listen for that as we confess it this week. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me in your righteousness. Enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore my spirit faints within me, my heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old, I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you, my soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way that I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. In your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies, and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul, for I am your servant. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Okay. And then our verse for the week is a delightful verse from Revelation. A little bit longer, but I think we'll get it. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Revelation 21, verse 4. It's probably as you work on this, I'm trying to commit it to memory. Think of it in three parts. At least I do. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, right? And then the negative aspects that are overcome. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, right? So death, sorrow, crying, pain, for the former things have passed away, right? So not the dead haven't passed away, they've died, but the former things have passed away. They've gone into the shadow, into the cloud, if you like, into the mist. All right. Our catechism for the week is actually two parts from Table of Duties. First, to employers and supervisors. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Ephesians 6, verse 9. And then to the youth. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you in due time. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 through 6. All right. We'll probably talk more about that as the week goes. As I said, we're going to be reading through the prophet Joel here starting this week. So starting right out in Joel chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, you elders, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. What the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the crawling locust has eaten. And what the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten. Awake, you drunkards, and weep, and wail, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it has been cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come up against my land, strong and without number. His teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he has the fangs of a fierce lion. He has laid waste my vine and ruined my fig tree. He has stripped it bare and thrown it away. Its branches are made white. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The grain offering and the drink offering have been cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests mourn who minister to the Lord. The field is wasted, the land mourns, for the grain is ruined. The new wine is dried up, the oil fails. Be ashamed, you farmers. Wail, you vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field has perished. The vine has dried up, the fig tree has withered, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. All the trees of the field are withered. Surely joy has withered away from the sons of men. All right, so a few things to note here. First, there is a correlation between the creation and the either repentance or unrepentance or unbelief of men. Right? So the field fails as men fail in their trust or faith in Christ. You've probably experienced this, but it's especially true in congregational life. It's a vicious circle, if you like, is that the more that we doubt God's providence for us, the less he gives us. This is the confession of the scriptures, is that for our unbelief, he rewards us with further suffering and pain until such time as we repent and turn and trust in him again, all right, and act then according to faith and not according to unbelief. This is what's happened. And so that's why they're wailing and lamented. They're going to be taken into exile in Babylon. Actually, I think Joel is writing to those who remain behind after God has brought this kind of suffering upon the land. So that's the first point. And we often want to discourage people from looking to their human experience as evidence of God's judgment against them. But that's not wrong. That's actually correct. What we want to discourage people from doing is looking to their experience as proof of God's love and care for them. Now, in some degree, you can do that, right? So for example, this congregation, we can look back and say, 169 years, God has provided for us here in this place and for the maintenance of the ministry here, that God's word be proclaimed, and that his sacraments administered, and that young and old be taught the faith, right? He's done that. So we can, in a sense, look back that way, but that's more to history and less to real-time experience. This is different, all right? That's the first point. The second point, of course, is that the unwillingness of the earth to give forth its fruit is a sign of God's spiritual judgment as well, right? So there is a consequence for refusing to repent, for denying the work of the Holy Spirit. And the consequence of that is that even the faith or the church, congregation, I should say, not the church as a whole, but the congregation, it also withers and fades like a vine that's now white and has been stripped bare, right? Now, we don't wish this upon us. So again, the reason why this is recorded for us is that we would repent and believe the gospel again, that we would act according to faith and not according to unbelief, that we would listen to God's word and trust in him, right? Rather than despair. And we talked about that yesterday in the sermon, so you can go watch or listen to that. At some point today, I'll be able to get back to the computer and break it out as a separate audio and video for you. But It hasn't happened yet. All right. Okay. And then our reading for catechesis is from Acts chapter 3. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention. Expecting to receive something from them, Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Whew, isn't that lovely? Oh, it's so beautiful. Oh, Beautiful gate. There we go. So Peter and John are going to the temple to pray, right? So remember, until they are finally cast out of temple and synagogue, this is where they would go to hear God's word proclaimed. Of course, it makes sense. We don't have copies in our homes. The copies are going to be, we're going to have complete copies of the scriptures, of course, in the temple where they'll be read. And then less frequently, you're going to see copies elsewhere. All right. No printing press yet. So this is where you would go to hear God's word. What time of day was it? We have the ninth hour. So remember, count this from daybreak. So this would be about 3 p.m. And of course, this is the time which Jesus died back in Luke 20:23, right? From the sixth hour to the ninth hour. And then at the ninth hour, he gave up his spirit. All right. Who is being carried? We have a certain lame man from his mother's womb. Each day, presumably family would lay him at the gate called Beautiful. This is an important gate. This is the ninth and the eastern gate. So now we have nine twice here, something emphasizing nine. This would be the principal entrance to the temple that was reached by ascending, another numerology, 12 steps. And then the massive doors were made of Corinthian brass, required a combined efforts of 20 men to open and to close them. Can you imagine? Just massive brass doors, 12 steps, and the ninth gate. Of course, they placed them there because this is where people would enter the temple through the Beautiful gate to receive alms. Alms, of course, literally means merciful acts or deeds. And this comes out of pity, right? And it's not wrong to pity others and to care for them. Right? Of course, this is beautiful. Almsgiving is a beautiful thing. It's the Beautiful gate. All right, so he's been lame from his mother's womb, meaning from birth, right? There's another story in Acts. It'll come up later, chapter 14, that deals with a certain lame man, this time in Lystra. So now we're outside of Jerusalem, and that the same sort of thing happens with Paul. This is important that you'll see in Acts, is that the same miraculous signs that were performed by Peter and the other apostles at the beginning of the book of Acts, when we get to the ministry of Paul in the second half of the book, and Paul ends up doing the same. So again, I'm confirming that he is truly an apostle. All right. What did the man ask from Peter and John? Of course, as you do, alms, right? Meaning he expects to receive money or wealth. And Peter says, "I don't have any silver or gold," right? So this is the original store of wealth and currency, the silver and gold. Actually, store of wealth, the currency would often be diluted tin and other things. All right, so the Roman Empire ended up corrupting themselves into collapse by counterfeiting their own currency. It might sound familiar to you. This is gold or silver, true wealth, right? And what could Peter and John offer the man, though? Not Peter and silver and gold. He'll quote, Peter will say the same thing in his first epistle. "Not by silver or gold, but with his holy precious blood," as Luther quotes it. All right. No, but they can give him something, I would say, even better. Rise up and walk, right? A true act of mercy to release from the curse of death that's plaguing this man's body. Gold and silver won't cure him, right? Just may feed him, but it won't cure him. And Peter heals the man with a word. Sound familiar? Yes, that's Jesus, right? And the word, of course, is Jesus that he uses to cure the man. Jesus, who cures by a word, is the Jesus who we proclaim, who brings healing by a word again. Notice how the man gets up. Take my hand, right? Peter takes him by the right hand, lifts him up, and very nice note here from the beloved physician, Luke, right? That his ankles and his, what did it say? Oh, his feet and his ankle bones received strength. All right. I think there's a significance here. I can't help but think of Isaiah 52. Let me go there. How beautiful on the feet are the feet of those who proclaim good news, right? I think that's the one I have in mind. No, that's actually a different text. Oh, this is in the Suffering Servant song, right? He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Is that the one I'm thinking of? Yeah, no, that works too. I mean, there's something about how he's on Mount Zion. We heard this in the sermon yesterday. And he's at the beautiful gate. And there, the lame is given to walk and leap like the deer. That's the Isaiah text I have in mind. The lame will be made to walk or to leap like the deer. That's the Song of Redemption. What is that, Isaiah 60 or 62? Somewhere in there. Right? And to praise the Lord. All right. What did he do after he was healed? Oh, wait a minute. I have it. Oh, there it is. No, I was in Isaiah 53. It's Isaiah 52. How beautiful upon the mountains. There it is. On the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. How beautiful are the feet. All right. But also the lame will leap like deer. And that's exactly what he does. He goes about praising God. This is going to end up causing some problems, as we'll see in the next few days. But initially, the crowd's reaction is they're filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him, right? Notice their response is the same way that people responded to Jesus' miracles. So we see here the confirmation of the apostolic church in the witness and in the deed. Peter and John were going up to the temple at the same time of day as the Lord's death upon the cross to set men free from the power of death. At the name of Jesus, the man is healed and brought through the gate called Beautiful into the temple of God. So now we have been brought into the new temple, the church, through the beautiful gate of holy baptism. It is fitting that the beautiful feet of the preachers of the gospel make strong the feet of those who hear the gospel, that they may praise the salvation which has been graciously given in holy baptism. Though we are but beggars before God, he reaches out to us and calls us by the gospel to enter into the beautiful kingdom and wear the crown of life. Terrific. All right, our hymn for the week is actually this coming Sunday's hymn of the day. And it was our sequence hymn yesterday, so we get to sing this a few times here, the Rabanus hymn, right? And we'll sing, our sign for the week is stanza 1 and 6, so let's do that today. See why Pentecost is a great day for confirmations as well, isn't it? With all the confession of faith, all the themes of that. I have another confirmation someday soon, I'm sure. Let's see. I just have a few catechumens working on confessing the catechism. That's where we are on that. First, let's pray the collect for the day for this Monday after Pentecost. Well, God, who gave your Holy Spirit to the apostles, grant us the same Spirit that we may live in faith and abide in peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And then our collect for the week. O God, on this day you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day by the same Spirit to have a right understanding in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gracious Lord, you have given us great responsibilities and authority as employers and supervisors of others. Teach us by your grace and mercy to treat our workers and those who are under us with respect, understanding, and compassion. Give us a humble spirit toward them and help us to see our workers as gifts of God who depend upon us for their livelihood and who enable us to be of greater service to others for whom we perform our life's work. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray this day for faith to live in the promises of holy baptism, for all vocations and daily work, for the unemployed, for the salvation and well-being of our neighbors, for our schools, our homeschools, our colleges and seminaries, and for good government and peace. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Pray today in Thanksgiving with Barb celebrating her birthday, with Dick and Ron, who celebrated their baptism yesterday. We pray for the households of our church this week, especially with Martin and Tara, Paul, Jim and Deborah, Robert, and Shannon. We give thanks to God, and we're coming up to the end of the school year here in the next couple of weeks. We thank God for another successful year. Pray for all our catechumens. Pray for those ill receiving treatment or recovering, especially Ralph, Allison, Maria, Joe, Angie, Dennis, Daniel, Brad and Billy Joe, Harriet, Ron, Carol, Mike, Doug, Ruth, Renata, Joan, Sandy, BJ, Karen, President Willie, and Phil, our homebound. The missions and mercy work of the church, especially this month with Lutherans for Life and for the work of church planting in our district. We pray for those grieving, especially the family and friends of Gary. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right, that's our congregation at prayer for today, Monday, May 20th, 2024. It's so good to have you with us here. You can join us each day at about 9 a.m. if you want to watch live. Of course, you can listen as a podcast throughout the day or also put it on in the background. And I don't know, can you put it on in the background? I mean, it is God's word. You should probably be attentive to it. All right. So there's that. So with that, I'll bid you fond farewell. This was pre-recorded because I've got our county circuits are meeting today for pastor conference. So we'll do that this morning. So if you had comments that you posted below or questions, I'll be sure to try to respond to those later in the day. All right. So God be with you all. See you soon. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church Sermon Center in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.